Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. This is God's holy word. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So reads the holy word of God. Well, friends, in God's providence, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, we've come now to these verses, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And here the writer is presenting to us another example of faith from the life of an Old Testament saint. Previously, we've considered the themes of faith and creation. God made everything, not out of what was seen. We've considered faith and justification, or faith in worship, in the better sacrifice of Abel. And now we come to Enoch, where we see the theme of faith and life, or faith and death. Enoch means, his name means dedicated. What a fitting character this morning, as you've heard four young people publicly dedicate themselves to the faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch means dedicated. Now, when we say someone is dedicated, that might sound positive just on its own. When you see someone, you hear someone, oh, that person's really dedicated. But obviously, we have to ask, dedicated to whom or to what? Because that makes all the difference. A criminal can be as dedicated as a constable, but one is dedicated to the law, and the other is dedicated to crime. Enoch was dedicated, but he was dedicated to the living God through faith. And verses 5 and 6 show us three descriptions of a dedicated faith to God. And I hope this will help us, with God's help, to examine our own life and our own faith. And secondly, I hope it will be an encouragement to the faith of the people of God. We see three things in these two verses. First, we see that faith is blessed by God. Faith is blessed by God. Secondly, faith is pleasing to God. And lastly, faith knows God. Faith is blessed by God. Faith is pleasing to God. And faith knows God. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, we read in verse 5, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. That's a description of a great blessing that comes by faith. Friends, faith is a life and death issue. That's not stating it too strongly. Faith is a matter of life and death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Death is the last enemy. People are said in Hebrews chapter 2 to be slaves to the fear of death. But in Enoch, we see in a very special way the great blessing of gospel faith. It delivers from death. It delivers from death. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. And God did something, you see, in the life of Enoch to impress upon all those who knew him and upon every generation of the world until Christ comes again, this great gospel blessing, that it saves people from death. In Genesis chapter 5, that you've heard this morning, the account of Enoch's life, it's called a genealogy, but really it reads more like an obituary, because all we read of all the people that are mentioned is, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Didn't matter how long they lived. This was the great conclusion. And he died. It's God drumming into our minds the reality, the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And as a marvelous testimony to the fact that faith delivers from death, Enoch was spared by God from experiencing ordinary physical death. He was taken away. They looked for him, boys and girls. They looked for his body. They couldn't find it anywhere because God had taken him. He didn't die in the ordinary way that people die. The King James Version says that he was translated. Translated. Now, that may seem funny to us, but when you translate a word, you take it from one language and you put it into another language. And that's really what this word translated means. God changed him. He took him from one place and put him in another place. The word is used in Acts 7:16 of Jacob and his sons. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem from Egypt and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor. They were taken from one place and put in another place. They were taken from their graves in Egypt and brought to the graves in the promised land. But in the gospel, the blessing, you see, is not just to be exhumed from one place and reburied in another place, but to be transferred from death to life itself. To go from sin to salvation, from earth to heaven. Jesus says in John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes, see, it's faith, who believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Translated, Enoch, taken from this one. But you see, this is the blessing of the gospel. We cross over from death to life. What happened to Enoch is a picture and a symbol of the blessing of spiritual translation. A translation that deals with death. The moment someone believes savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says they cross over from death to life. This only ever happened that we know of physically to Enoch. Later it happened to Elijah, you know, in the Old Testament. But by faith, this is something true of every believer. We cross from death to life. We don't really experience death. At least the fullness of death and the sting of death, that's all dealt with in the gospel. Remember what Jesus said. The tomb of Lazarus, John 11:25. Jesus said to his sister, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And now listen to this. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What's Jesus saying? Does that mean that Christians are all going to be like Enoch? That we don't die? No, Enoch was a picture of what happens spiritually. First of all, that we don't really experience the full wages of sin, even though we may die physically. Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the law. That's what Christ took upon himself. We will never experience that. Boys and girls, have you ever been stung by a bee? I hope you haven't, but if you ever have, that's a horrible thing. It's a painful thing. It's an awful thing. But you know, whenever I get stung by a bee, I have one consolation. That bee can never sting me again. That's not much of a consolation, but at least it's something. You have to find something to hold on to when you're stung by a bee. But you know, it's the same with death. Death can only sting once. And if Jesus Christ took the sting of death for you, it can't sting you again. Though our souls must be separated from our bodies and our bodies returned to the dust for a season, This is what Jesus is saying. He who believes in me will never die. It's not the sting of death. It's not the full wages of death. He took that upon himself. And beloved, if we are those who are alive at Christ's coming, our experience will be very much like that of Enoch. People who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye somehow. They won't have to experience that physical death. But even if you must face physical death, Enoch's example gives us hope. It encourages us. The blessing of faith. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5 says, and God took him. God took him. That speaks to us of God's sovereignty in death. Doesn't it? God took him. That was true of Enoch, and it's true of every child of God when they die. God takes them. You see, you don't really ultimately die because of an accident or die because of cancer. God takes you, and he's sovereign. And he takes you according to his wisdom, doesn't he? The striking thing about Enoch is that when he was taken, he was so young. That, I think, is the striking thing. He was only 365 years old. Did that strike you, that he was taken so young? Sometimes when young Christians die, when young people die, we're taken aback by that and we wonder why. But here's Enoch, and he's taken. And he's so young. Boys and girls, you're thinking, well, 365 years doesn't seem very young to me. But read through Genesis chapter 5. How long did his son live? 969 years. That's only a third. Enoch was taken in his 20s. Or his 30s. God took him. God took him. God knows when to call his children home. Whether it seems long or short to us, God took him. You see, the important thing is not how long you live. It's how you live. It's how you live. By faith, Enoch walked with God. That was what was important about Enoch. He walked with God while he lived. By faith. God's sovereignty, we see God took him, but also God's saving love. God took him. God received him to himself. What a picture of the blessing of gospel faith, that God receives you to himself. You know, before the NHL All-Star game, there was the fantasy draft. Two captains, if I remember correctly, Chara and Alfredson, right, were the two captains. And they had all the other players, and for weeks there was all this talk on the radio. Who are they going to pick first? Who is Alfredson going to take? Right? Wasn't that all the talk? Whom would it be that they would choose? Which person would they take? Who would they want to be with them? You see, that was the whole thing. They wanted to take someone to be with them. God took Enoch to himself in welcoming love and in honor. It's a part of the blessing that God receives us to himself. Psalm 73, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Many of our forefathers in the faith called death our departure. Our departure. Enoch's departure was not a fearful thing, but a blessed thing. It flowed naturally out of his faith and out of his life. In life, he walked with God. And that fellowship and friendship with God was simply continued when God took him into heaven. Continued, but in an expanded and an extended way. As they said of a Puritan of old, could be said of Enoch, heaven was in the man before the man was in heaven. There was a little girl once who came home from Sunday school, and they were studying the story of Enoch. And when her mom asked her what it was all about, she put it this way. Mama, one day Enoch and God took a walk together. They walked and they talked and they talked and they talked until finally Enoch said, "Oh, dear Lord, it's getting late. It's getting dark. I better go home." And the Lord said, "Why, Enoch, we've been walking so long together. I believe we're closer to my home than to yours. Why don't you just come home with me tonight?" Faith is blessed by God because it brings that communion with God in life, right through death and into eternal glory. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of death? A more important question needs to be asked. Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Are you living by faith? Only true faith, gospel faith, is blessed with the greatest blessing of life, even in the face of death. We live by faith, not by sight, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. You see, as Paul mentions the blessing of being at home with the Lord, he also mentions the issue of living a life that is pleasing to God. And that's what we see secondly. Faith, first of all, is blessed by God, but secondly, faith is pleasing to God. Enoch, Genesis 5 tells us, walked with God. That assumes friendship and union and communion. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, when it translated Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walked with God, translated by saying, Enoch pleased God. And that's really what walking with God implies. It's a communion of friendship and fellowship. The writer of the Hebrews goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because without faith, we would never walk with God. And even more significantly, apart from his grace in the gospel received by faith, he would never walk with us. Genesis 3:8 pictures this in the history of man. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I think we can justly infer from that that this was a regular practice, that this is part of the fellowship that was there in the garden. But the verse continues, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The walking of the Lord with his children had been disrupted. By what? By sin. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:8. Sin destroys fellowship with God. God is holy. And the issue is not whether we think we are or can walk with God, but would he walk with us? Thomas Shepherd, the Puritan, said, "Alas, my God, that we should be such strangers to each other. Oh, that as friends we might agree and walk and talk together." But for that to happen, sin must be dealt with. And that is why Jesus came to the world. He lived a sinless life. He walked with God in perfect fellowship and obedience. And in that obedience, he walked to the cross. He walked to the cross, carrying the cross, where he would die in the place of his people, taking our guilt and wrath upon himself. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, the one who pleased God, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, the one who pleased God became unpleasing to God. So that God turned his face, as it were. My God, why have you forsaken me? The forsakenness of displeasure. The one who pleased God became unpleasing to God. So that through faith in Christ, those who were displeasing to God could again be pleasing in his sight and so walk with him in reconciled fellowship and communion. Without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to walk with God. You're walking in your sin and you're walking in darkness, and you will walk straight to judgment and hell. No amount of good works, no amount of religious activity. You could be baptized 1,000 times. Would never make you pleasing to God. The disciples on one occasion were greatly astonished, and they asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And God has made pleasing him a reality in his Son, Jesus Christ. And as a saved, forgiven people, it will be your desire to please God and to walk with God. If you are walking with God, it means that you're on the same path. You're walking in the same direction. You can't walk with someone and be walking in opposite directions. Then you're not walking with them. You're walking in rebellion to them. You can't say, "Oh, I'm walking with God," but you're not going in the same direction as God, in the same direction as his word and his will. You're not walking anymore in the direction that the world is walking. Have you ever left an event of some kind, a concert or whatever it is, a movie, and forgotten something inside and had to go back? You have to try to go back against the flow. It's even harder than trying to walk out during a sermon against the people who are sitting there. Have you ever had that? It's so hard. That's the Christian life, friend. The whole world is walking this way, and you're walking that way. And it's hard. It's hard. It's every day. That's the Christian life. In attitude and perspective and obedience, you're walking with God. Enoch walked with God. Was it easy for him? Just after Genesis 5, we read Genesis 6, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Enoch was a man who lived in an especially wicked age. It was a time in the history of the world that God seemingly removed to a greater degree his restraining grace to show the world what sin does. So that at the end there was only Noah and his family that God had preserved by grace, and the rest he wiped from the face of the earth. That was the world that Enoch lived in. That was the world in which Enoch walked with God. He lived a life that was pleasing to God in such a world. Emma and Emka, Sydney, Rebecca, this is your profession, part of your profession of faith today. That by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your desire is to walk with God. No matter how the world is walking, you want to walk with God. This is part of your profession of faith today, that you desire in Jesus Christ to live a life pleasing to God. And that is not only just a desire, it can be a reality by God's grace. That's the wonderful encouragement of Enoch in the time that he lived. Enoch walked with God. He did. He really did. And by faith, he was pleasing to his heavenly Father. Finally, brothers, Paul said in Thessalonians, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. And it was no cakewalk to live the Christian life in first century Roman Empire. It was a lot worse than our culture today. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. And we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. You know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That's pleasing to him, that your life has changed, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Talk about walking against the current of this world. And by God's grace, if you're not fighting against that current, you will be swept along by it so easily. The current rages around you. Young people, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Trust the Lord. But be encouraged. Even when the life that you seek to live as you walk with God is displeasing to the world, in Christ you are pleasing to your heavenly Father. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. I say, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For we walk by faith and not by sight. This is the Christian life over and over and over again in the Scripture. Only by faith can you escape death. And only by faith can you be pleasing to God. And only by faith can you continue to walk with God in a way that pleases him. In an anti-faith and anti-Christ world, is it any wonder that the disciples said to the Lord in Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, third, faith knows God. That's the key. Faith knows God. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the living and true God, and the one you've sent, Jesus Christ. Faith knows God. J.C. Ryle said, in walking with God, a man will go just as far as he believes and no farther. His life will always be proportioned to his faith. His peace, patience, his courage, his zeal, his obedience, all will be according to his faith. What's going on in your life? Is it the life that you want to be living, that you think you should be living? All these things. How's your faith? How's your faith? How can we grow in faith? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Bible assures us of things unseen and things not yet, things hoped for. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. We need to grow in the faith that God exists. Not that just he is, that you have some vague belief in a deity. This is Old Testament language. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. You are to believe that he is. The covenant God who revealed himself to Moses in the Old Testament. The God of covenant faithfulness. Who, though unseen, by faith we know. And we know that he never leaves us or forsakes us. We know he is. The wonder is not so much, and the encouragement is not so much, that we walk with God as that he walks with us. We know he is. Every day that Enoch walked with God, he knew that God is. That God would be everything he promised to be for him. This is the great encouragement, not that you walk with God, but that he walks with you. And the more you know him from Scripture, the more that you know that he walks with you and that he will never leave you or forsake you. This is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we learn from the Bible what Enoch knew. God is the great rewarder. God is the great rewarder. We must believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The word means paymaster. God is the great paymaster. He will give to everyone what is their due. This is what Enoch knew. We know that he knew it because he preached about it. Jude verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about the world. He said, "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That's what Enoch knew by faith. God is the great rewarder of men. And by grace, he turned from his ungodliness and his sin and trusted in Messiah. But God is also the rewarder of those who by grace earnestly seek him. This is what we trust by faith, that God really blesses and rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, we can't get around the fact there that the writer says earnestly. Earnestly. This isn't just a blanket promise to those who have some interest in God, to those who have a passing acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith that knows God, the faith that earnestly seeks God. Do you earnestly seek him? The King James says diligently. Can that be described of your walking with God, your desire to know the one with whom you walk? Are you diligently seeking him? We can spend more time looking for a restaurant to go to or seeking and searching through movie reviews to see what movie we want to go see than we do earnestly seeking the Lord. The proof's in our lives. Do you remember Madeline McCann? Little girl, abducted from her hotel room while her parents were having dinner a few 100 meters away at a restaurant. How long ago was that? 5 years ago. What did those parents immediately begin to do? Seek their daughter. How hard do you think they looked for her? How long do you think they looked for her? You think they're still looking? Every face they see, they're looking to see if it's her. Why did they seek so hard and so long? Because they love her. If you love the Lord Jesus, then you'll seek him. And you'll seek him earnestly. When you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And that kind of seeking, God will reward. Of course, it's the rewards of his own grace. He sets our hearts to seek him. But it's a reward nonetheless. You will be rewarded with better and lasting possessions. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded, Hebrews 10, 34 and 35. What is the reward when you seek him? Well, you're seeking him. He's the reward. He's the reward. God himself is the reward. That was the reward for Enoch. He was taken to be with the Lord forever. Heaven would be hell to me if Christ were not there, said one of the Puritans. Is God your reward now? Is Christ your great desire and treasure now? If he is, then heaven will be heaven for you. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your very great reward.